Thank you, Mr. Pippi. Good morning, everyone. Now, I was thinking on my way up here that if any of you could see my notes right now, you'd be very, very nervous for me. There were many last-minute changes. Well, brethren, yesterday, July 15th, marked the one-year anniversary, if you will, of a devastating flood that hit our local community. Many business owners went into work on July 15th, 2004, and found their businesses and all their inventory underwater. So yesterday, to commemorate the one-year anniversary, may be the wrong word, but they commemorated the one-year anniversary of this day by interviewing on the local television and radio station some of the people, local business owners, local politicians, people that were affected by the flood, people that came from out of town to help deal with the aftermath that the flood created. One of our local politicians, when he was interviewed, he quoted a short passage from former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani's book, entitled Leadership. The quote that he brought out was that last year he was amazed how ordinary people stood up and accomplished extraordinary things. So in a sense, brethren, that's where I'd like to head today, is to a subject that requires less than ordinary people, the Church of God, to do something extraordinary. To set the stage for this topic, if you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, picking it up in verse 11, we all know this to be an indication of the time just preceding Christ's return. And pick it up in verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, this is verse 12, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Brethren, verse 12 sets the stage for what I feel is a very important topic today. I know it's been covered many times. However, repetition certainly helps to ingrain things in our memories. We're faced with a daunting task, brethren, because in verse 12 we are shown that in the end times the love of many will grow cold. The love that's mentioned is agape love. Now, the only people that are capable of agape love is the church. Because without the Spirit of God, there is no agape love. So this verse is referring to the church of God in the end time shortly preceding Christ's return. So here we see that the love of many is growing cold. But if you turn with me to Hebrews in chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to pick it up in verse 25. Actually, you know what? Let's back up a verse here. Let's back up two verses. Pick it up in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, the latter half of that verse sets the time frame for when the time will come when it's even more important for us to be getting together, to assemble together and exhort one another. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, when we were in chapter 24 of Matthew, we read that at this same time, the love of many will be growing cold. But here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we see that it's even more important for us that this does not happen. So, brethren, we do have a very daunting task, given the history of the last 10 or 15 years or so in the Church of God. We can understand how the love of many would grow cold. Because it's probably happened to you, and I know for sure it has happened to me. There's a lot of water traveled under a lot of bridges, hasn't there, in the last 10 to 15 years? But here we see in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 that as we see the day approaching, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves, but exhorting one another. Well, the word exhorting has a number of different meanings, all really the same, in encouraging, comforting, and loving one another. That's what the word exhort means, according to Strong's and a number of other dictionaries. To admonish and to pray for one another. Certainly, brethren, this is an extraordinary time that we live in. And it's going to take extraordinary effort for all of us to overcome our history. You know, the natural reaction to some of the things that maybe some of the people in the church have gone through is to put up some barriers, right? That's a defense mechanism. And nobody knows that one better than me. Because I don't build walls, I build fortresses. And I control them very well. But here in the end time, brethren, we are supposed to be comforting one another, talking to one another, even more than we ever have in the past. Now, with the church in the shattered state that it is, we're very limited to actual physical contact, limited by our geography. We do, however, have some resources available. We have the internet and, of course, the mail. Do we underestimate the importance of this? You know, it's so simple to just put ourselves in this little fortress and say, I'll do it myself. I can do it on my own. Well, brethren, we can't. If you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, we'll see that even if we wanted to, brethren, it is absolutely spiritually impossible to take this task on alone. 1 John chapter 4 actually is an excellent chapter on this subject to read in its entirety. I'd like to just take a couple of verses out of there. We're going to start in verse 7. And hopefully I won't end up reading the whole book. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Let's drop down a few verses. Pick it up again in chapter 16. And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And now the catcher. Drop down to verse 20, chapter 4, verse 20. And here's the catcher. And I say it's the catcher, brethren, because we've read in Matthew that the love of many will wax cold. We've read in Hebrews that we are to exhort one another in love. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. And here in verse 20 of chapter 4, 1 John, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, again, the word love here is agape, and the word hates could also be read loves less by comparison. So we'll start again and substitute those words. If someone says, I love God and loves his brother less by comparison, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So, brethren, in the beginning I said that we do have a daunting task, less than ordinary people called upon in an extraordinary time to take extraordinary measures. Perhaps the most difficult thing we'll do in overcoming is to make reparations for the damage of our past and to move forward into the future. Brethren, this is probably one of the most important things that we have to focus on if we wish to rule with Christ in the kingdom of God. So, brethren, let us work diligently, tirelessly, to overcome our history and move forward into our brilliant and incredible future, and to love one another along the way.